Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fletch, Vaughn and Laura, who's in for Megan, who over the weekend is alive.
She's alive,
she's still
yeah.
alive.
She's got a morphine button.
Yep, she can push that 10 times an hour.
How much what fun do those like a look? Is it weird that you're allowed to give yourself the pain relief?
Just self-medicated.
At the push of a button?
I said, what's your record in an hour? She said, I can get to 3 and then I can't do any more. I was like, pussy. Hey. I just hit it 6.
Because you pass out.
Hit it 6, see you after Easter.
Yeah, but then you get out of hospital and you've got a drug addiction.
Better than being
you
fat
win some,
after
you lose
Easter.
Some.
Yeah.
True.
And does it kill your appetite? Because crikey, I ate some hot cross buns in the weekend, I'll tell you. I would rather have been doped up on morphine.
Was there some post-Easter eating regret?
Oh, so much.
Hard to chew when you can't feel your face.
Do you know what sucks? The Easter, the drinking laws at the restaurants. Did you encounter that in the Mound?
I definitely did. Are you guys going to sit down? Have you got the intention? Is there the intention to eat? You can't order booze unless there's intention to eat.
You were thoroughly questioned.
So we all ordered a plate of chips. And then they said, we're going to have to order more because you've got a bottle of wine.
Yeah, like, and then when your food runs out, you better order more food or you're out.
You get the hell out of there.
Yeah, and then we got
judged.
Kicked out.
Like, you got kicked out.
Because we'd been there for the allocated 2 hours or something.
You might have a problem. You might have had a problem too. Beyond being there for
but
2 hours.
They were saying on Waiheke Island at the weekend, they actually had inspectors that were going into the places to check. And they were all ringing each other around saying, watch out, they're coming, they're on the island.
What a great job for inspectors on Easter weekend when you can't get any booze. Volunteering to get booze.
Yeah, like that narc at school.
I'll go and see if they're selling booze down the road. I'm sweat to drive, it's Waiheke Island.
All right, wow. On the show today, community notices return on that booze.
I tell you, there were some entrepreneurial people out there and you've screen capped their posts on your local Facebook page and sent them in. People who might have had a little stockpile, might have squirreled away a few cans of Cody's here and there.
Yeah.
Really trying to cash in on that foresight.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
All right, I've got 3 news headlines and Vaughn and Laura have to pick one out of these 3. Headline 1, not everybody happy with one-way bus tickets for the homeless. Headline 2, boy gets Easter egg surprise. And headline 3, gay Jesus banned from parade for being too fabulous.
Oh, that is not fair. Gay Jesus.
I think given that it's Easter, we have to go there. Number 2.
Vaughn?
What was, can I have them again?
Lost in gay. We always get, who doesn't?
I get lost in gay Jesus.
Headline 2, boy gets Easter egg surprise and then gay Jesus.
Well, I did a little bit of silence there of my thought.
Right.
Just imagining the gay Jesus crucifixion would have been quite dramatic given that it was dramatic as it was. But then Jesus is now gay, so it would have been twice as dramatic, twice as look at me. I think probably your middle one. I'll side with Laura on this.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
Laura
it.
Laura really came to that decision quite quickly.
Didn't take me long. All I heard was Easter eggs. So.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of gay Jesus. It's my favourite Jesus.
We go to...
It was his experimental years, just before he went to uni.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Jesus, what are you doing in there? Get out, Mary! Oh, my God. I just... skip along, Judas.
All right, we go to the UK now where Ollie got an Easter egg for Easter. And it was a Cadbury Twirl. Do they have those here? I know they've got the different...
Yeah, they probably do.
No twirls here.
Flake, you
trust me,
flake
I have
ones.
Done the necessary research and it's the flakes here, twirls over there, because you get twirl bites in England, which are pretty good.
So we don't have twirls, we've got flakes instead.
Yeah.
Is that just what they call their flake?
Yeah.
Amazing.
No, I thought... Twirl's different than a flake.
Because a twirl's got a chocolate wrap in it.
But it does have the flake inside.
The flaky bits.
Right.
It's a chopped-up flake.
Well, anyway, he was 4, Ollie. Ollie Smith, his Easter present was a twirl, and it was one of those box ones where inside is the egg, and then inside that is the
twirl.
The extra twirls. He opened up the box to find a pair of glasses belonging to somebody who works at the Cadbury factory.
Were the glasses inside the egg?
Not inside the egg. They were inside the box. But the box was sealed. Because, you know, they put the little plastic sellotape-y kind of thing on.
So the glasses fell in at the factory.
Here's a photo of him wearing with his Easter egg and his twirl, wearing his glasses. And they're like, they look like Nana glasses. Like Nan's like, I'll just put them inside this twirl box. Nan's like, where'd I put my glasses?
What if the glasses fell into the conveyor belt and got boxed up and then they were like a little bit blinded and they stumbled backwards and fell into the vat of chocolate?
I'm pretty sure factories are safer than that.
Wow.
It's not like Willy Wonka's chocolate river.
Willy Wonka would have to erect a fence. There's no way you'd just be able to dip into a chocolate river these days.
Augustus Vitas.
Yeah. Augustus would be straight in there. So what's the end of this story?
They found someone? Canberra yet to contact her back. It's only just happened over the Easter weekend. Don't know. He's just got an Easter egg with some glasses.
Some poor blood just walking around blind this Easter.
I know.
Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan.
Firstly, I'd just like to thank everybody who voiced their concern. There was an armed offender squad call out in my hometown of Morrinsville over the weekend.
I was going to say something, but I thought you might be upset, and it might have been you.
That's a lot of people. It wasn't so much people messaging me on Twitter and Facebook saying, "Hey, is everything okay with your hometown?" It was, "This isn't you, is it?" Which is nice to know everybody thinks you're just on the verge of jumping on a roof with a gun.
Just a bit, yeah.
Just could be him.
You get up early a lot.
Yeah, I know. Could be the breaking point. It wasn't. Thanks for your concern.
Right.
I don't know how that all ended up, but that was big news in the Ville.
I got the news alert and I rolled my eyes. Oh, not surprising this, is it?
Big news in the Ville. However, our larger, uglier cousin, Hamilton, also had a very funny story, a crime story. Not nearly as... There was no armed offender squad call out.
Okay.
By the way, are people still calling them armed defender squad? Because it's armed offender squad.
Armed defenders.
It's a deal with an armed offender, not...
Armed defenders.
Armed defender.
I call them armed defenders.
Because that's the thing, we say armed defender.
And they roll together.
Yeah, they roll together. But just it's AOS, not ADS. And it's not ABS, that's anti-lock braking system. So in Hamilton, there was a crime of a serious nature, but not quite as serious. A man tried to steal in Hamilton East a handful of KFC chicken. He was stopped in Silverdale, and from what I can gather, it was the KFC in Hamilton East. On the corner of Wellington Street.
Right.
That the last place I ever ate KFC, because I used to live just down the road. I ate there so often. It was a little bit further away than the kitchen in our house.
Yeah.
So I lived at one end of the house. I could walk to the kitchen or walk to KFC. Yeah. I made too many choices to walk
and
to KFC.
And the staff used to call it a Vaughn pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning. Hello.
And they just be like, your usual Vaughn.
Yeah. And when your KFC knows your usual, that's when you've just got to start looking
at
yourself.
Questions.
apparently this man jumped the counter, had an armful of chicken, was then confronted by KFC management. He dropped the chicken and unfortunately made his getaway empty-handed, but then tried to run from the police, and they eventually pulled over his car in Silverdale Road, which is a little bit of a distance.
Right, so he managed to get away.
Yeah.
A little bit.
What happened to the chicken on the floor?
I've just actually been told it's the Greenwood Street KFC.
Oh, okay.
So that's even further away.
Right.
So you could have just gone to the Hamilton East KFC.
Much closer.
Much less fuel involved than the police
All the
chase.
Chicken's on the floor.
Yeah.
And he leaves without anything.
I don't know if he grabbed a bucket.
Right.
Like if there was the bucket and he dropped the whole bucket, or he literally, because sometimes that's deceivingly hot, the chicken.
He just
grabbed it bare-armed. He may have dropped it because of the burning, the searing hot oil straight on the skin. But anyway, he made his getaway without any chicken, which is a shame.
That's a shame. You've got it. All that effort, you don't even get a wee piece of chicken.
Imagine when the police tried to arrest him, he would have been all slippery and greasy.
He should have just taken a couple of bits of rubble over
chicken.
Himself.
Yeah.
While he's driving, rubbing himself chicken, then eat the chicken.
The worst thing, you're sitting in the police cells and you smell like KFC.
And criminals are licking you.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.
Fletch, Vaughn and Laura, who's in for Megan, who had her operation on Thursday. Went really well. She's on a drip, on a morphine shotter.
Yep.
Is that what you call
10
it?
10 clicks an hour. I don't know what it's...
Right.
That's her absolute limit. I don't know what she's up to now.
I also saw that the nurses are planning her hair.
Yeah, that was very good.
That was nice.
That was a good... That's private hospital stuff. You're not getting your hair plated at a public.
Her food as well. She had like chops or something.
She had...
Ribs. Was it ribs?
No. Rack. Lamb rack.
In hospital.
out of hospital.
Yeah, but again, private. Yeah, it's her health insurance. It's her health insurance covered it.
I've got the five most annoying text messaging habits.
Go.
So I guess you could. This may be the same for Facebook Messenger or like WhatsApp.
All using Facebook Messenger now. I opened my messages part of my phone on Sunday and I hadn't sent a iMessage or a text message since Friday.
I know, it's weird when you get a text, eh? You're just like, oh. Because
if you're on an iPhone, an actual green text is really weird.
Yeah, because it's either group message or Facebook chat for me. Yeah. So the five most annoying text habits. One, you use full stops.
I use full stops.
Why is that? It's not weird. That's polite and
punctuation. Grammatically correct.
Exactly. It's the proper way to end a sentence. It's grammatically correct. But apparently when you're texting and they're just short little sentences, it makes you seem insincere.
But what about if you're sending a really long-winded, text?
Mate, then that would be fine. I assume that would be fine. But they've actually done university studies where they compared like people that wrote notes to each other versus texts. And in the notes, people were like, yes, use full stops.
But in texts...
But in texts, it seems insincere.
The last text I sent was to my dad. All like, got home safely, full stop, no traffic, full stop, 22 mils in the gauge, full stop. Like, that's...
And he's that is the sexiest text I have ever read.
He's like, that's good, full stop. 22 mils is also good, full stop. Like, that's very short. We're all about the full stops.
Classic
I wouldn't be using full stops then.
And it capitalises the start of the next sentence for you, which is nice.
Yeah.
Also, again, grammatically correct.
Very grammatically correct.
All right, the next one, five most annoying text habits. You don't spell check.
Yeah, people.
Wait, so you're not allowed to use full stops, but you should spell check.
I know, right?
Beggars can't be choosers.
I want spelling and full stops. And you know what else gets me going on a text message? An apostrophe.
All right, another text habit that's annoying, texting at the movies, which is Vaughn.
I don't do it anymore.
Are you lying?
I saw Batman versus Superman at the weekend. P.S. Don't believe the critics. They don't know. That was a great film. And shut up, James, the producer who didn't like it. Because he doesn't have the brain capacity to work out a complex political storyline. It's not that complex or political.
It's not getting good reviews, though, is it?
And, you know, my phone stayed in my hat on the ground, face down the entire movie.
In your hat on the ground? Do you take your hat off during the movies?
I more or less undress during the movies. I take my shoes off, I take my hat off, I put my wallet, my keys, my phone, all in my hat, and I slide it under the seat.
Have you ever walked away without your hat?
No, because, you know, you've been without my phone for a couple of hours. So you
you've got to check it straight away.
Yeah.
Okay, another annoying text habit. You leave read receipt on, but you don't message back straight away.
That just frustrates me.
Yeah.
There are some real sluzzers around who do that and then pretend that they haven't got their message. You're like, actually, I saw
the read
That's
receipt.
That's why you always turn off your read receipt, because otherwise people hit you up.
I know, frustration.
You take away the ability to lie to say,
I didn't
get that
text. Is busy playing cricket though, Laura. You can't be like, you saw that, but you didn't reply. Oh yeah, I was just going out to bat for the nation. So you could have flicked it. Okay. Full stop.
Sure. Wife over here, just sitting waiting. Yeah. Just a quick kiss would have been fine. Just got to go bat.
Five annoying text habits. The most annoying one on the list. You don't turn off key clicks.
That's just rookie.
But that's mum, right? Mum and older are the only people not turning off key clicks.
Sometimes you hear the odd person with key clicks on and you're like, oh.
The worst is when they're a real slow texter, so and then they make a mistake, so they go.
And they're doing it with their index finger.
Yeah. One, two.
The Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast.
Easter weekend's just been, and it's important to always remember the reason for the season. Chocolate eggs delivered by a rabbit. I've dug into it. That's as much as I can find out about the origins of Easter. However, Cadbury, one of New Zealand's biggest chocolate manufacturers, came under some heat. And, of course, that will melt chocolate, any sort of heat.
It will
melt chocolate at the weekend because of their Cadbury Favourites Easter egg. Now, the Cadbury Favourites is one of those big hollow eggs and there's a plastic bag inside it. I don't know how they get it in there either. But
I think it's magic.
It's the magic of the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
But they came under heat because it seems like they might have just been getting rid of all their leftover cherry ripes from the Christmas favourites. many examples of people taking photos of the small bag with the small chocolate bars inside the egg and the majority of the chocolate bars in that were Cherry Ripes.
Right, because you're meant to get eight by the looks of it. Eight little chocolate bars, favourites, inside the egg. There were seven Cherry Ripes and one Dairy Milk bar.
That was in Shelley Down's post on Cadbury Wall, which had 3,500 likes, 400 comments, 38 shares at last count.
This would be my dream outcome. I love the Cherry Ripes.
I'm the same. I remember a time where you could only get Cherry Ripes in Australia. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was like a real coup when you came home with a whole lot of Cherry Ripes.
So can you get a Cherry Ripe bar in New Zealand now?
I don't know. Can you get a big one?
Yeah, you can. But not the big ones. If you go to Australia, they've got the king size.
Cherry Ripe. See, I've come around to the way of the Cherry Ripe as I age and my palate changes to a more delicate palate. I can do a Cherry Ripe. Still can't do a Turkish Delight. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And I don't want a Boost bar. Get it out of my face. But
see, they need to get rid of the Boost
bar. I'm not into the Boost.
Yuck.
So from what I can see, the Cadbury Favourites doesn't have the Boost bar. It's got the Dairy Milk, the Caramello, the Flake, the Crunchy, and the Cherry Ripe.
Right.
So
it used to have Boost, though, didn't it?
I think the favourites still does,
yeah.
But not the favourites Easter egg.
Right, okay.
It only has the five there.
Right, okay. Because I'm always in the minority when it comes to the cherry ripe and the Turkish delights.
You and me both, babes.
It would either be, like in your case, your dream come true, or in a person who hates Cherry Ripes, the absolute worst possible scenario cracking into that egg.
But who's complaining about it?
Like,
people who didn't want Cherry Ripes. It is, what I see their point, it's a favourites. You want one of each. And then the other three made up of your three favourites.
But it's just, it's random selection, isn't it?
There's nothing random about seven Cherry Ripes and one Dairy Milk. Okay. I mean, actually, that's like the definition of random, because it is, that would be random things would turn out seven Cherry Ripes.
That's what Cadbury have come out and said. It's a randomised selection. Does that mean there's a person that has to grab a handful at the end of the conveyor belt? Or is it a machine? How do you think it works?
They're all machines these days.
All machines?
Yeah, maybe it is a machine.
Only a machine
would make this sort of mistake. I'd like to think even a person in a Cadbury factory on the conveyor belt of chocolates would take more care in their work to pick out.
What? It's 5 minutes to five and you're grabbing a handful of chocolate bars. Would you care if someone was getting seven Cherry Ripes?
I mean, I wouldn't, but I'm a terrible person.
Right,
I'm assuming these people take a pride in their work.
Right,
sifting out eight different sorts.
Actually, there's a poll at the end of this Herald story. What's your favourite?
No, but see, they've included all the favourites in this.
Yeah, I'm 17% with Turkish Delight. I want to see all the other ones now.
I'm going to go for a flake.
Oh, I hate it when the poll does that. It's only giving me my poll result.
Oh, no, I've got all the polls.
Here we go.
No, it did do that thing.
No, do you know Cherry Ripe is 16 and Turkish Delight 17? It's actually, they're the favourites.
There you go, then.
Flake is such a shock.
We are not the minority.
I know. Is that a shock?
The least favourite is Dream. Which one's that?
Dream's the white chocolate one. It's not a Milky Bar.
Nah, it's trying to be, though. It desperately wants to be.
But it's just not.
Morrows, 7%. That's Dad's still eating Morrows, isn't it?
And they've not even bothered including the Boost bar on this because it's just such absolute shit.
Didn't they have Morrow Gold for a...
The timeout is 5%. The Bubbly's 5. Dream 3. Crunchy's 13.
They still have timeouts.
This is like the stock exchange of chocolate bars, isn't it?
Yeah.
Welcome to ASB Business. The Flake up 2 points this morning to 16%. just behind the Turkish Delight, but staying equal with the Cherry Ripe. Yep. Down the bottom end of things, if you're looking to invest, can't go wrong with a Dream. Currently sitting at the bottom 3%. Can't dip any lower, surely, before eliminated from the favourites completely. Bubbly just ahead of that on an equal 5 with Time Out. Look ahead to 7% on the Morrow, the New Zealand favourite. You would have thought would have been higher, but it's not. Just behind the Caramello, which is sitting at 8%. That's ASB Chocolate Business this morning.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.
ZM.
Fletch, Vaughan and Megan's Community Notices.
Welcome to Community Notices. It's a segment of the show where we take a look at your local Facebook postings that you've found enjoyable and will find enjoyable and spread it around everybody else in the name of enjoyment.
So many over the long weekend too.
Yes, no shortage of people. I thought we'd start with a non-Easter related one. This one comes to us from the Christchurch Buy, Sell and Trade Anything page. Please help! My partner believes that Earth is flat and that there is no such thing as other planets or satellites. And it's infuriating. I know the Earth is a globe. That's why it's called a globe.
You should do those skydives where you go up to, like, is it 16,000 feet and you can see the curve?
Yeah.
That would certainly put that into perspective for him as he's plummeting out of a plane.
She goes on to say, does anyone own a telescope that can actually see satellites and planets and don't mind some visitors for around 10 minutes on a clear night? He's not going to give this up until he sees it with his own eyes, and I can't carry on listening to his crap for the sake of our relationship, please.
Surely he's winding her up.
I don't know. It's really...
How can you still believe, like, hello?
I don't know.
Like, what about the stunning visuals from the International Space Station?
Well, no, he just thinks that's all faked.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Next post comes to us from the Buy, Sell and Exchange Whakatane District page. Jess writes, I need some jandals ASAP.
Thank you, Jess.
That's all.
Wow.
That's it.
That's all. Someone's like, what size? And she said, dunno. I'm priggers. I need them delivered. That's all. That's all. She's just
dunno, I'm priggers. I need them delivered.
I need them delivered.
Do you forget your shoe size and you pregnant?
I don't know. Or your feet swell. I'm
Does
not
that mean
right.
she's barefoot? And pregnant.
Yeah. Very barefoot and very pregnant. This one from the Franklin. Don't know where to put a D on the end of that. Grapevine Info Sharing Group. Aliza asks, what would you do if you received your driver's license in the mail, but the photo and signature is somebody else's?
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's a real admin
what
error.
What would you do?
That's a real admin error.
Yeah, huge admin error. Mm. I'd immediately deal with the situation rather than having to explain that false-sounding story to a police officer when you're pulled over.
And that means who's got your license
I know.
With your photo and signature?
But why is the first thing you do go to that, not ring?
This is one thing you'll come to learn listening to community notices over the next little while, Laura. People don't Google anything before they take it straight to the Facebook page. This one comes from the Mount Wellington site on Neighbourly. Now, have you heard of Neighbourly? It's an app.
Right.
And it's just like community Facebook pages you post on there and people within the vicinity can see it.
Oh, okay.
This one writes, hi, everybody. I was wondering if anyone can help me. I'm looking for a particular type of battered hot dog from a clean takeaway shop. It's a red sausage inside the batter, either with or without stick. Not the stick ones that are pre-cooked on the stick with a brownish sausage.
Okay.
I managed to locate one shop by fluke, but I can't remember where that was. All the other takeaway shops have been horrendously disappointing with the standard brown battered hot dog on a stick.
Not a red hot dog.
I think the sausage might be a Frankfurter, thinking about it. If they're really nice and usually have no stick.
So she's having a conversation with herself.
Yes.
On this app.
The location of a battered Savoy, by the sound of things.
It does sound like a Savoy, yeah.
I can't believe anyone would eat a Savoy after finding mouses and Mises, Mises.
I advise that. People are happy to live in an ignorant bliss. Let's pop now to the Cambridge Waikato Garage Sale Group, where somebody is listing sexy lingerie, $10.
Ooh.
Oh, my word.
All in good condition, only worn a couple of times each.
Yep.
$10, the most interesting piece on their lingerie. Prepare yourself.
Okay, we're about to see a photo.
No, I'm scared.
Again, I'll reiterate each item, $10. This is the crotchless full body suit.
Holy moly.
Only $10.
What?
It's stockings.
What a bargain.
Stockings for the whole body. Sans crotch.
Sans crotch.
Don't know what somebody would be doing. I mean, it looks a little bit like those black suits that people who work backstage at musicals and stuff wear.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit. This one from the official Buy and Sell in New Plymouth page, Fletch, your hometown.
Yep.
Cherise asks, is anybody selling alcohol? It's not for me, it's for my mother. Facts.
Right, you have to be buying a meal
now.
It's a public holiday.
It's not for me, they want this delivered. If only she was in Hawke's Bay as Hustle Hawke's Bay, one of the many pages flooded with people selling booze, a box of 8% Cody's, $20 a can or $200 for the whole box.
What?
Entrepreneurial rungi from Hustle Hawke's Bay trying to make some money off selling liquor on a weekend when you can't. Also, buy, sell, trade in Auckland, leftover alks, which is short for alcohol.
Yeah, thanks.
Eight bottles of Cody's, 3 Cody cans, 8 bottles of Woody's, 5 Smirnoff cans. A Bailey's 1 litre, 17%. That's $60. That's just for the Bailey's. All the rest, $45. 2 Smirnoff boxes, $35 each. Pick up Manurewa can drop off for extra. Text the following number to express your interest.
Wow, entrepreneurial.
And that is just an indication of what people were doing on Facebook over the weekend. So many people starting their own booze shop.
16 bottles of Tui, for example, in New Plymouth. See, this person got hooked up with the other person who wanted the booze.
Where's the other beers in the box, though?
They've been drank and drunk.
They've been drank and drunk.
It's a 24 box. $30 for 16. Not bod.
Wow. Not bod.
Not bod.
Not bod.
Those are today's community notices. If you see anything on your local Facebook page that you're loving, screen cap it and send it to ours, FEMZM on Facebook.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
Well, this must avoid unethical conduct. Can you put a bounty out on the ref?
Oh, please. It's Vegas.
The cheerleader situation.
If we're going to lose, at least we're going to be entertaining. What are you doing here?
I'm trying to cleanse my soul.
Well, then let me grab a fire hose and a bucket of bleach.
It starts tonight on Duke Sin City Saints. It's about a fictitious Las Vegas basketball team.
But you, the star of that show, you might know from The Watchmen, Couples Retreat and The Heartbreak Kid, Marlon Ackerman joins us on the phone. Hello, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Great. Very
now,
well, thank you.
This new show that we can watch tonight, you filmed for quite a bit in Las Vegas. How many weeks were you there for?
We were there for 6 whole weeks. And I mean, most people don't spend more than 2 nights in Las Vegas, if you're smart. So 6 weeks was quite a long time. My son, who at the time was, I think, 1.5 years old, I mean, he knew the word casino by the end of it, which is really one of his first words.
I was here for 3 days, and at the end of it, I was at the airport just a crying shell of a human being.
Yeah, pretty much. You can only imagine 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Vodka soda at lunch is just like having a green juice at that point.
Yeah.
the Vegas detox, I guess you could call it.
Exactly. That's the detox.
So in the show, Las Vegas gets a basketball franchise. Did you know a lot about basketball before you did the show? Did you learn a lot about the sport?
You want the honest answer?
Yes, I want nothing but honesty.
Not a clue. I had such little knowledge of basketball. I mean, I've gone to a basketball game here, the LA Lakers.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about basketball other than, you know, you put the ball in the hoop. That's all you
got to
know, right?
Well, if you can just continuously get a ball through a hoop, that's what it takes to be a great basketball player. So I completely agree. I agree. You've got the basics down, and if you can get the basics, you've got all the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotta say, have been loving you in the TV show Billions as well. I know we're mentioning another show, but wow, that show's great, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's so much fun, you guys. Such a great, and I think it's so timely right now as well, and people are curious about that top 1% in Wall Street, and it's really well written. I'm super excited to be part of it. Good actors.
Too. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen Billions, but there's one episode where Lara Axelrod, your character, goes full bitch, and it was actually terrifying to watch you pretty much destroy a woman's life.
Yeah, I really like it. That was fun to live vicariously through this woman. Because we all have people in our lives who we really would love to ruin their lives, but we're not. I mean, I'm not mean enough to do that. I feel way too guilty, but I get to do it in the show, and it feels so good.
Yeah, and what's working with Damian Lewis like? Is he a good dude?
Oh, man, he's awesome. He's so, so lovely. Again, great cast. Damian is funny, charming Brit who is really well-trained. I so respect him as an actor. I feel like I'm learning so much just working with them. So I get really inspired by the people that I'm working with. It's been a real pleasure.
Does it blow people's minds when he speaks in a British accent? Because it still surprises me after Homeland and Billions that he's got such a thick British accent.
It's faking it. It's not a real British accent. There's no way.
Yeah. So when is he acting?
Hey, well, thank you so much for talking to us. Sin City Saints plays tonight on Duke at 9:20, Freeview 13 and Sky 23. It's also streaming at watchduke.co.nz. You can catch up TVNZ on demand. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. Minus Megan, who's in hospital, so we've got Laura in.
Good. That's recovery.
I recovered there, didn't I? Well, it's hard because I've been saying it for so many years just like it's a force of habit, really.
So it's babes, yeah.
Just before we get to New Zealand's favourite radio segment, Megan has Snapchatted us just with a little update of how she's doing. So we're going to open these live now.
I'm scared.
Oh, we're going to do this now, all right.
She's told Caitlin that these were okay for broadcast, so no swearies or anything like that.
Okay.
In brighter news, I had a male nurse help me to the toilet last night, and he chose that time to tell me that he loves listening to our show.
She sounds
right.
I always demand someone tells me they listen to the show before they wipe my ass. That's
What are my prerequisites? Tell us in a show that I know. I'm like, lie to me then.
I didn't even think about that. Like, she'd be getting sponge baths and...
Well, it's like, all in the... You think about how much you use your hip for movement and everything.
Nurses don't get paid enough, eh? Like, how many sponge baths would they have to give people that are like, ooh?
When I see nurses striking, I'm like, give them what they want.
Yeah.
Give those people.
Because I plan to be poop in my pants quite badly when I'm an older gentleman and probably in a public hospital. I won't be able to afford private care. And give them what they want.
Yeah, all right, let's open up this one.
You know, morphine makes you itchy, like my back and my butt, and I can't reach it. So if anyone wants that job... It's up for grabs.
Again, nurses don't get paid enough.
The nurses do not get paid.
I mean, I knew about the itchy on the morphine.
All right.
Does everyone get itchy on the morphine?
I think so.
I can't wait for breakfast because I ordered French toast with a side of ice cream and jelly.
Okay.
Yes.
That is the best ad for health insurance, eh?
Yes. Sounds like she's on holiday. She's getting someone to scratch her bum in her back and she's getting really nice food for breakfast.
And she gets to be high on drugs the whole time. It's exactly like a trip to Thailand or something.
I might be going home tomorrow, so you guys can fight over who's going to sponge bath me and who's going to give me my injections. Okay.
I'll do injections.
Go.
I wasn't quick enough, was I? No. I'm not sponging. That's what Toy Boy's
I'm not
for.
Sponging. I don't know her well
enough. She said self-inject. I've always admired that about diabetics.
Oh,
when they've had to, like, do the little psh in the hip, you're like, oh, God.
Even the finger one, I find.
Oh, yeah, the blood test broke.
All right, now, quiet, please.
Cat news. Everybody cares about that news.
Yeah.
Thank you. Laura, that's Ed Sheeran singing that intro.
I knew I loved him. I've got a thing for gingers, but particularly that one and Guppy.
That's obviously right. Well, you're married.
Oh, yeah, you're married to a ginger.
Yeah.
Just when I started saying that, I was like, that's so wrong to say. Anyway, Ed
Sheeran.
Why is
that wrong to say?
I think it's the intent of which you say it,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Unless I've got a little bit of ginger in my beard, so I'm allowed to say the G word. You're not.
I'm not. It's not my word. You're not. Okay. today's cat news is all about how to tell if your cat is right or left pawed.
This is bullshit from the start. Why would a cat have a dominant paw?
Well, because why would it have a dominant paw?
It doesn't do any tasks.
It might. You don't see them all the time.
It's not a task-based animal.
They have to clean, so they might...
Chasing a ball of wool as it runs away from them?
But that's both legs.
I feel like...
Opening a cat door or a cupboard?
Do they do that with their head?
You've got to push first.
They do that with their head, though.
I think that's
There has been some research done into this. And it's a thing. And this is how you can tell if your cat is right or left pawed. You get a glass and you... What?
Go on.
You get a glass and you put a cat treat at the bottom of it. And then it will try to get it with its paw. It'll use its dominant paw.
My cat's right-handed. I've done this before.
Have you already done this test? Have we? Because Fletch... The crazy thing about Fletch's obsession with cats, he doesn't have a cat. And you're not getting one day so much that you've been saying that for
Have you
like
ever had a cat?
Or years? Just love
cats? Oh, like growing up, I've had cats, but not. Yeah, because I don't know, because I've never lived anywhere that I could have a cat, but I could get one now.
Fletch has commitment issues, and it doesn't just extend to partners of a human nature, it extends to partners of any species.
I can't go away for the weekend, can I?
Exactly.
You've got to tell them where you're going.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then with the cats, you've got to feed them.
You've had patted other cats. The cat will be like, I can smell the cat on you. You didn't even try to keep this subtle. And you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm just new to this. I'm no good at these relationships, human or otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
Well,
you can come
around
and help look after my cats with me if you want. I've got two, so you can
got
come
Burmese,
around.
Don't
I've got
you?
Two Burmese babies, and
then left-handed, left pawed, right.
One's
port?
Right, Coco's right, Jemima's left. So you can
Jemima. After the doll off play school.
No, Jemima Puddle Duck.
The
duck from the Peter Rabbit.
The Peter Rabbit duck.
Brilliant. Okay. Right. All right, well, that is how to tell if your cat is right or left pawed. You put a treat in a glass and it will try and fish it out with its dominant paw.
Cat news, cat news. Everybody cares about that news.
Yeah.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
I'm just reading a story about fraud from Rotorua. Now, this isn't fraud of a large multinational, which I always kind of like enjoy the telling of. Do you remember when the Rotorua-based Westpac fiasco happened and someone had $10 million in their account?
Yeah.
They're like, see, I'm off to China. Good luck finding me.
Sponsor if you can.
Hard to feel sorry for banks and big corporations.
It is
when
hard
they're
to feel sorry
off.
For banks. Mm. But how about primary schools?
Oh, no, you don't steal from primary schools.
You don't steal from primary schools. You don't steal from primary schools. Well, Rotorua principal of Westbrook School, Colin Watkins, has come out and said that they recently held a gala with tickets.
Yeah.
Now, the school has been ripped off to the amount of about $6,000 after 300 counterfeit tickets were used at its gala.
What, so what were the tickets for entry? Do you pay to get into the gala or was it to pay for food and stall stuff?
Yes,
right.
Food and stall stuff. You buy it so there's no queues on the day with FPOS and cash on the way in.
Smart.
Or prior to, you'd buy these things. They came in a dollar, so if you wanted to buy like 20, you'd have 20 tickets and you're like, hot dog, right. $5, you'd pass it out. They get them commercially made, so they're exactly the same size and dimension and everything.
Okay, these tickets.
Yep, yep.
Right.
The tickets. I guess gala currency.
Yep.
And so imagine their surprise when going through the tickets afterwards, they find out that there's fake ones that have been made that look exactly the same as the originals.
Someone's photocopied them.
Someone photocopied them. They're in the circulation. At least 60 of these tickets, valued at a dollar each, were used on the winning wheel. So they had raffle winning. So you could buy, you'd be like, there's a wheel, and you'd be like, I'll buy one on each.
That's money laundering.
Exactly. So the fake tickets were used to buy the chance to win real cash. So usually he said the gala would have drawn in about $24,000, but these fake things cost them about $6,000. The fake gala tickets.
Who rips off a primary school?
I don't know.
That is so low.
I don't know. Because, and you might be thinking, is this a private school? No, it's their massive fundraiser so that some of the kids who wouldn't usually be able to afford to go on things like school trips, camps, sports fees to play for the school and everything, the school subsidizes it. So it makes it way cheaper so they can afford to go so kids aren't left out.
Well,
that's sad, isn't it?
They are feeling, that's awful.
What if, plot twist, it's one of the kids?
And he'll fund himself on the next rugby
trip.
Yeah,
he will be.
He'll be the one at school with a brand new school bag.
Do you guys want some lunch? Come on.
What did you blow if you came into a bit of cash? Because I remember I found $20 once. That was gone by playtime because I was just like the king of the
wrestling
canteen.
Cards?
What'd you buy some wrestling cards?
Wrestling cards, yeah. Probably blow them all.
Mine didn't even leave school grounds once it came on.
Right.
It flourished and boosted the school economy because it was straight to the tuck shop at play
right,
time.
Okay.
I was like, lasagna toppers. Thank you. Because if you had the money, you'd want something substantial like a pie for lunchtime.
Yeah.
But lasagna toppers were a real treat.
We trade and sell knuckle bones.
Knuckle bones?
Yeah.
What was school like in the early 1900s?
It was pretty good. It's pretty good.
And then we went and played marbles on the field.
Did you know it?
And talked about the war.
the war. Don't make me go back there.
Yeah.
Did you not have knuckle bones?
I wonder if father will come back from the war this spring. No, we never had knuckle bones.
Laura, could you please come and set me?
We had
telegram.
Yeah. Bing bong. Excuse me, Laura, Godrick, father's home from the war.
Telegram.
Report to school office for your telegram and your polio shots.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM. It's an amazing story of a fishing contest taken to the next level after a man was accused of lying. He's now taken a polygraph test because he really wants to win the, what is this called? The mega fish competition in Hawke's Bay.
How serious are these fishing competitions?
Quite intense. It was a $48,000 prize. It was like an Isuzu ute or something. It was valued at 48 that he was going to win.
Why are they not believing him?
Well, I don't know. He caught a 136.6 kg fish.
Jeez.
It's a big fish.
It's like a marlin or a swordfish. I can't tell the difference.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I'd also be terrible at fishing one of these in because apparently they take...
How long?
Like
ages?
Hours.
Oh.
Hours. I'd just cut the line. I'd assume it was a snag.
I'd get one of those fishing grenades.
What?
When it was close, you just lob it in and it explodes.
Like
and
a
they
stick
just
of dynamite. I don't think you've just said fishing grenade. Like it's an actually marketed thing.
Is it not a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing. I think it was for Jaws it was a thing.
Yeah,
I don't think it went so well.
Come on down to Fishing Camping Outdoors. Get your line, your burley and your fishing grenades. We'll chuck a package together for you this long weekend.
It certainly would make fishing fun for me, Vaughn.
Yeah, way more fun than sitting there vomiting because that's pretty much how I go fishing.
Yeah.
I sit there and then I start vomiting.
So he reels this gigantic fish in
yeah.
and what, he wins the competition.
Yes.
But nobody believes him. what's not to believe? The fish is there.
I remember this was a contentious issue at when we were kids at a camping ground fishing competition.
Right.
That fishing competition, and the dads who only had like one kid but room on their boats would take out the other kids.
Right.
And they'd have a big fishing competition. There was one year where somebody won, but it turns out they'd caught that fish on a previous day and chucked it in the freezer.
That is just scandalous.
I know. And then chucked it in the chili bin and taken it out fishing.
Right.
But taken it out of the chili bin so as to defrost.
Okay.
But defrost just the right amount because fish go real sloppy and juicy after frozen and defrosted. So you had to time it just right for the weigh-in.
Couldn't you also shove like metal weights into a
fish?
That
is what another person in that fishing competition did. So I don't know why it was
such a fishing competition you watched when you were younger.
Yes, fishing competition. I'm glad I wasn't involved.
Then you're going to have to start x-raying the fish. But getting somebody polygraphed, that's expensive. That's a long way to go.
It absolutely is. But can I just interrupt by saying that the guy who they're getting the lie detector test for was a police detective in the Hawke's Bay. So it's like he is a relatively, you would presume, a relatively upstanding fella.
Yeah.
Who would tell the truth.
Yeah, but apparently he failed the initial lie detector test and thus he wouldn't be getting his ute, which he planned to sell and then split in four and give everybody that was
on
the boat.
With his fishing buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
So what, because he's failed the lie detector test, they're like, well, we're not giving you the money.
He's not getting the...
But there's no other evidence, is there?
Apparently, this is the weird thing, was the polygraph clause was written into the competition entry contract.
But they're not scientific, are they? Because do they hold up in courts, polygraph tests?
No, because they control their bodies now a bit more, the heart rate and stuff?
I'm just loving that you're calling it a polygraph test.
What is it called? Polygraph.
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 Polygraph sounds like something that the ladies have to sometimes get when they've got a...
Polygraph.
We had some friends from England stay with us this Easter weekend, and they just were cracking up that the front page of the newspaper was this.
Was this story about a man who found a lot of juice about a big fish.
And wouldn't get his ute.
Yeah.
I want to know this morning, can we take some calls? Because I'm with this guy, I believe him. I want to know when...
I don't know him.
You're not going out there and just saying...
Oh, you back a stranger every now and then, it really comes to bite you.
It just sounds like the fishing competition people, it's like, why do they care? You were going to give it away anyway, weren't you?
No, they weren't.
They had an insurance,
a prize insurance. They paid $6,000 for the three main categories, including a marlin of that weight class, which would have won them the ute.
Right.
So they had to get a marlin and it had to be
of
certain.
That weight.
Yeah.
When did nobody believe you? That's what I want to ask this morning. 0800-DIALS-IT-M 9696.
I don't have lying. I believe my own lies if I sit with them for long enough.
But it's the ultimate yarn, isn't it? Oh, it was this big. That's where it comes from, doesn't it? Fishing.
He actually can prove it's that big.
Well, exactly.
But he can't prove when he caught it. Because I'm guessing that's what they're debating. Because they actually weighed it and he did catch it. But they don't know if he did it in that
Could you do an autopsy on it? Time of death. I'm putting it at approximately
CSI
1800
Fishing
hours.
Club.
Yeah.
Ah.
Be a great episode of CSI.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be. Just trying
but
to think
I don't
of
know. Do you have any
pun.
Big yarns that people don't believe?
Plenty.
All the yarns.
Most of mine.
But Laura, during that ad break, has told us that once she met Harry Potter.
Had a massive night on the juice when I was a big time juicer, as was he. Now he does not do.
We're talking booze, not actual juice, because there's people who really got into juice.
Sorry. Of the little bit of liquor.
Yeah.
And we were at a cricket game, because it's amazing in England who loves cricket, and I was with a bunch of girlfriends.
Yeah.
And he was there by himself. He came. He had a backpack. He had a full-blown backpack, and he had his England cricket cap on, and he sat quite close to us, and then we got talking and drinking of the juice.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we went out clubbing, and in his backpack, he was so drunk, he fell down a hill as we were walking out of the ground to get to cab to go to some nightclubs. Had his backpack, and it wasn't like, he wasn't like a cool kid at school, and had it just on the one thing. He was double strapper, and in his backpack, I know because I looked through it when he went to the toilet, he had hard-boiled sweets and glad rat bags. He had Tupperware containers that had like bandages, because obviously he drinks a lot and falls a lot. I don't know.
God, packing your own bandage, you know you've got a problem when you're packing your med kit for a night out.
Yeah, it was. He had a couple of friends with him, and they had gone ahead and sort of sorted out this VIP.
Ron and Hermione, I assume.
And no one, I felt very cool. He didn't love me because I kept calling him Harry. I got confused.
That's easy.
I'd spent so much time watching him be Harry.
Right.
But when I came home, and everyone was like, "Laura, how was your trip?" And I was like, "Amazing. Met Harry Potter. Big night on the juice." Everyone's like, "Okay."
No one believes you.
Everyone, I'm sure.
Have you got a photo though?
Harry, I do have a photo. Do you want to see it?
Which is one better than Fletcher's line, no one even believes, but the time he saw a panther or a jaguar,
Puerto
Rican. In Costa Rica.
Costa Rican jungle. Mm.
How did you know it was a jaguar? Like, what, are you sure?
It was a jaguar, yeah.
Did you get a photo?
No, I didn't have time to get my camera out.
It was just a cat. I've just been reading more, and a couple of people have text messaged in. This is like a big deal in this fishing club, by the way.
Right, it would be.
It's like Batman versus Superman. You either, pick a side because you've got to be on one guy's team here.
Right,
you either vehemently believe that he is a good dude and actually caught a marlin, or you want him strung up.
Right.
Like a marlin. So we want to
know the yarn that nobody believes.
Yeah.
The story that nobody believes, even though there's actually evidence of this guy's fish. Like,
apparently
it's
there's GoPro footage, photographs, screenshot of the boat's GPS coordinates, and signed affidavits from the boat's crew. And independent witness statements.
Do you think they just don't have the Azuzu to give away? Do you think maybe they've just thought, there's no way no one's going to get them?
Do you think they missed the payment?
Maybe.
Tell them, mate, we don't have the ute.
Text messages and calls in.
Somebody said, I crashed my car in 2008 and to this day no one believes me that I wasn't texting at the time. I actually just did hit gravel and spun out.
Oh, yeah, but they're just like, no, you were texting.
Yeah, you were texting, weren't you? It's like, I promise I wasn't texting. My husband never believes that I got top marks at the school for home economics, as my cooking is so rubbish. And every time he's like, I'm like, you know, I got top of home ec. He's like, you didn't. Absolutely. You absolutely didn't.
Your poor thing.
Nobody believed the day I got caught in the female toilets that I only used it because all the male toilets were full and I had a very bad belly ache.
That's disgusting.
You're just being a perv.
That is disgusting.
If the male toilets are busy, like if you go somewhere where it's just one toilet for men and one toilet for women, and there's no one in the women's toilets, I'll always use it.
Well, women do that at bars all the time, don't they?
No, women actually do use them in.
Which is fair enough, though, because there aren't enough.
But also, it's just so gross.
Yeah. Sam, what's the story nobody believes?
I picked every winning lotto number for the $30 million Powerball 2 years ago.
Right, but you didn't have a ticket.
No, a little old lady, she didn't know how to do your own numbers. She only knew how to print off, like, triple dips.
I don't know this lady, but I'd sue that bitch. Hard. I'd spend $29 million suing them for $30 million, so I still had $1 million.
So you were telling her what numbers to put in the machine. She gave you a ticket, but it didn't have those numbers on it.
Yeah, like I tried to fill out the piece of paper, and I'd never done it before. And I was like, "Can you help me?" She's like, "I don't know how either." My dad was like, "Well, we can go down the road." I was like, don't worry about it. Just give me some triple dips. And then in the morning, he got the numbers off the internet and I looked at them and cried inside and started drinking at 9 a.m.
So you can remember all the numbers. Were they like your birth dates or something?
Funnily enough, I'd been at the casino about a month earlier and all these numbers had just been winning. So I thought I'd just use them all to buy a lotto ticket.
That was you'll never win anything of value ever again. That was your chance.
You
were
done.
Given everything. Like, you pretty much travelled back in time to give those numbers to yourself, and you balls it up.
Fire and do whatever I wanted for the rest of my life.
I can see how no one believes that story, Sam.
Yeah, but once you meet my dad and he says he was pretty angry, everybody goes, wow, that was real.
Yeah, right, okay. Amazing. Wow. Thanks, you cool, Sam.
No worries.
A couple of texts to finish off. Somebody said, do you remember the story last week about rodents growing up to 2 foot long in Wellington?
Yeah, yep.
And remember at the time, I was like, I don't believe it. The exterminator has said that. Somebody said, I know an exterminator who in Wellington, and everyone's just hitting him up about telling awful lies about how long rats are good, how big rats are getting.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't have a rat to prove them wrong, he's kind of been like, all you've got is your word. I guess that's kind of what we're talking, right?
Yeah,
you've got is your word. Somebody else said, I won the end of year big prize at school. Not ducks. What's the next one? That's what they said. Proxima Cici or something.
Oh, right. I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is ducks.
Yeah, the second to ducks. Second to ducks.
Yeah.
Proxima Cici.
I'll Google it. Hang on.
Cicibit or something.
Okay.
That's Latin. Why are we doing this? No one's speaking Latin. and no one believed me the following year, but they were all in the assembly.
Well, don't you get your name on the board? Oh, no, only
no,
the duck
only the ducks does. No one, oh, yeah. As my mother says, no one ever remembers who came second.
Yeah.
That's true. Tough but fair.
I know.
Tough but fair.
And so this person says, even though they were there at the time, no one believes that I was the second brainiest when we were at school.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM. The Undercutter.
So... Wow, we're here.
Yeah, the Undercutter this week, the most entries we've had are more money than usual. It's going to start at $10,000. We're going to decide who's doing this tomorrow.
Yeah, so
we're just going to do some background checks on everybody that kind of wants to...
You can undercut the next competitor, but you've just got to do it for less.
Yes.
So we've had, like, when you gave someone a tattoo for $30, you know, we started at $1,000. I don't know how low people will go for this week's, where you are having your toe... surgically removed and then surgically reattached.
Now, the opportunity presented itself through a medical research place that was looking for patients. They're going to be learning stuff, I assume. And a man who heads up their medical research team joins us on the phone. We'll refer to him only as Doctor. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Morning.
How are you?
Look, I'm well. Thrilled to be getting the opportunity to talk about this development.
So what is this? Because lots of people are saying there's no surgeon that'll do it. It's awfully unethical and everything. So what do you guys exactly do?
Well, it's a medical trial. It's just not cutting off a toe and popping it back on. There'll be, you know, observations and data collected from this, from the reattachment of the digits. So, you know, it's all the work that we learn along the way.
Right. So someone's going to learn something out of this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like I shouldn't have entered a radio competition.
Oh, yeah, they'll learn. But then on the other side of the scalpel, they'll be learning too. So
which toe is best to do?
The fifth. Now, the fifth is the medical term for the little toe. So we go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the smallest one. Look, it's harder to work on, actually.
Now, is that the piggy that went to market or the piggy that went wee, wee, wee all the way home?
That's the piggy that went wee-wee.
Yes, right. Correct. I have to say that's actually a test because I can't stand when people go the other way. The little one always goes wee-wee-wee-wee all the way home.
I know it's a serious moment in surgery, but if you could please refer to that as the piggy that went wee-wee-wee
all the way home.
On the morning.
It'll be going literally wee-wee-wee all the way other place.
Right.
When it's off, could someone actually go wee 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 up the body, then back, and then I mean, that's probably stupid.
Probably not. No, no, not even I could do that. I've pushed the boundaries.
Okay. Right. Okay. So why the little piggy that goes wee 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 all the way home?
Oh, well, look, it's just the easiest to get to. It's the easiest to access, and really, it's not that crucial to balance, to be honest.
Well, right. So planning for worst case scenario, that's good.
Yeah.
So how safe is it? Because people are saying that it's not safe and they might not have feeling in their toe and all.
People. Look, people cut toes off of spades in the garden often. You know, they're reattached without any issues or infection. This is in a sterile surgery with medical professionals overseeing every aspect of the operation. Now, I'm not promising it's totally without risk. You know, there's no surgery that's without risk, but it's all taken care of in the documentation we have for them to sign.
So is it a local anaesthetic? You wouldn't general anaesthetic for this?
Look, we can do a blocker. So there's a local anaesthetic. Then we put the deep block in that, you know, really numbs the whole joint. But it depends on the assessment. We may have to go a full general.
How long will it take to recover from losing the wee-wee toe?
Oh, not long. It depends on the makeup of the constituent, you know, of the person. Look, we've got to sew it back on and we'll see how it goes. And from there, we'll work out whether, you know, there's infection. There shouldn't be. You know, if the person's in good general health, they'll be okay. I mean, I could imagine you'd be back walking within days.
Well, so how common are toe amputations? Like, how many of these have you been involved in?
Well, toe, fingers, all sorts of digits. I've removed them. I mean, I've been a surgeon for 27 years. It'd be hard to keep count. The little toe is an odd one. I've probably half a dozen, maybe. I've had to take some off. I've put some back on. It hasn't quite worked, and they've had to come off again. But, you know, it's just another day in the surgery for me.
All right. Well, tomorrow, $10,000. We're going to start with the Undercutter to take part in this medical trial. How much would you do it for? You can register zmonline.com.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
I was genuinely upset yesterday when I read this news. Country calendar. Listen to this.
There's huge interest in organic farming throughout the world, and New Zealand is no exception. The majority of
that's my childhood right there. That's my childhood Saturday night. I'll still
that could
Fletch,
explain a lot.
Fletch will back me up here, Laura.
Oh, he does.
I my sky every episode of Country Calendar.
He
I
does.
Do.
Yeah, he does.
I watched it. There was a great one on at the weekend at a dry stock farm. And but a especially
it's because you're a rural man.
Yeah. About
and Friday nights, your parents were always watching Maggie's Garden World before everybody knew she was a BITCH. And I watched mostly for the Boogerman and that lovely, tall, flamboyant guy. They were the real stars of the show, if you ask me. Them and the rhododendron hedge.
Oh, my the God.
Love those roadies. But
so that was on a Friday night, and you just watched it because we only had one TV in the house, and Mum no one had iPads.
I know, that's the thing. You had to watch what Mum and Dad were watching, yeah. And that they always had on Country Calendar. But for me, that was it. Like, once I moved out of home, I don't think I've ever seen an episode since.
But listen to the theme song. Look at that.
Oh, it's classic Kiwi.
That's great, though. I just associate that with background noise.
Yeah.
This should be our national anthem. Next time we replace the flag, we'll do a flag anthem double act. Whatever the flag's going to be, and then this will be the anthem.
Well, there's save on singers at the national anthem, at ceremonies.
Yeah, just play this as the flag goes up.
That
I'm
would
so
be
into
great.
That idea.
Oh, my God.
That
would be so great. Your face, you just lighten up like
let's
an absolute...
Let's get to the video department to get a New Zealand medal ceremony and get this on instead of the anthem. See what it looks like.
So the sad news, the voice of Country Calendar.
Frank Tawley, who you heard talking there, has died. And he's been doing Country Calendar since like the day dot, in the 60s.
It's New Zealand's longest running TV show, longer than Fair Go, longer than Shortland Street.
Yep. And one of the oldest TV shows in the world that's had a continuous broadcast.
So sorry, how long is that then? So
from like 50
years? 1966, and we're in 60, so 50 years?
Yeah, they just had their 50th
Good
anniversary.
God.
I know.
And he's done it the whole time. So what, was he 12 when he started?
Yeah, he must have just been a little fella.
Four, he was four.
There's been some other people who have had a go at it. Like,
right.
They swap in and out, I think, because sometimes he goes to the farm.
Right, okay.
who's going to do it now?
Well, I don't know. I know that Frank's only just passed, and it seems inappropriate to put your hand up so quickly.
Oh, God.
But I would... It would be my dream job. Exactly. You'd agree if I narrated, like, did work here.
Look
and then they were like,
eyes.
We're jumping on a plane, Vaughn. We're going to go up north to an avocado farm.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
I look at your wee face. I'm so happy for you.
I would love it so much. Even if I just got to do one episode. I don't know. Who do I talk to about this?
I don't know.
I was thinking I could do my audition now.
Okay.
Okay, well, so I'll play the theme song and you're going to narrate.
Yeah, Frank before. Okay. Yeah. You've got to start. Okay.
Oh, and I've got some...
What are you doing talking over my... I was about to start.
Oh, sorry, dude. Do you want me to stop?
Yeah.
I just want to say I've got some sound effects of the farm.
Okay. Well, no, this is a different sort of farm. I don't know if you're going to have this sound effect ready.
Okay,
this is about you.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Are you coming to my farm?
Yeah, I'm coming to your farm. So I might ask you a couple of questions.
Okay, this is an episode of Country Calendar where Vaughn comes to my farm.
Okay. Cats aren't everybody's idea of the perfect farming animal. But for lonely human and cat enthusiast Carl Fletch Fletcher, it just made sense after his radio career petered out in late 2016 to combine his two passions. Cats and being away from all humanity. What sort of fences do you have around here to keep them in?
You don't need very big fences. They can jump probably a metre and a bit, so I've gone for 1.75 metre fences on my farm.
That's quite a lot of fencing.
Calm down, Tiddles.
How do you prepare for a drought? It's pretty dry around here.
Just stockpile the jelly, mate. During the what do you call them? The wet seasons?
Yeah.
I know farming terms.
Who's your main export market for cats?
China's a big one.
Right.
China's a domestic market's big as well.
Yeah.
As you'll see, but yeah, mostly China. Lapping up the cats.
Right. I don't know if that was an intentional.
Have you spent much time on farm?
I don't know. It's where we send our milk. Yeah, and I've got a farmer's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. This will be the last half of the show.
Yeah.
You've got to do your year as well. Otherwise,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
This is the missus.
Yep.
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 How long have you had your missus?
Yep. Oh, yep. Quite a while. Yep.
Oh, yep. That's the thing about Country Calendar. They always work a bit of romance in.
They do.
That gets the female viewers. It captures them, right? You've got to hit them.
They tell us about what Doris does with her spare time.
And Doris does plenty.
She runs a bloody good bake sale down at the local school a couple of times a year. Really involved in the community.
Up early, does the brekkies.
Up at the crack of dawn.
Right, okay.
Well, it's sad news.
It is.
We won't hear a fresh episode of Country Calendar with Frank Toiley behind the microphone, but in all sincere honesty, and I don't do sincere honesty well
you
or
don't,
often.
Though.
I would love to maybe be part of a
new generation. No, they'll give it to
generation.
Jim Hickey.
Hey,
Jim Hickey.
Better not.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Fact of the day. Today, who's filling in for Megan? That was great effort.
Thanks.
Really great. Really
I'm impressed.
So much better.
Thank you. Feel getting, real good about that.
Getting better. Good work.
Thank you.
Today's fact of the day is about the manchineel tree. Ever heard of the manchineel tree?
No.
It's considered the world's most dangerous tree.
Oh, yes. Is it the one where they get that?
You would have come across this on your travels.
I've heard it was one of those. Well, it's not an urban legend, but one of those horror stories you hear about traveling to South America.
Yeah,
it's well, I'll let you tell it.
So it's native to the Caribbean, Florida, the Bahamas, Mexico, Central America, and Northern South America. So that real tropical belt there. it can be used as windbreaking and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a native tree. It grows a very delicious looking, almost Granny Smith like apple. However, everything about this tree is bad. The sap, if you touch the trunk and you get the sap out of the tree on you, it will immediately blister your skin.
Oh.
If you eat one of the apples, you will die. That's not a maybe. That's a...
You
oh,
will.
Well, no, you will die, or you'll just suffer for ages in extremely agonizing pain.
And then
as
die.
As it's so acidic, it will burn your insides out, and then you might die. And if you try to burn it down, the smoke from the tree will blind you.
Brilliant.
So it's just like this tree that's just developed
every... Oh, so is it not the... I thought you were talking about the... Is it a plant where you turn it into a powder or something and it can make you...
Oh!
You give it... So they blow it on people. You only need a tiny little amount of this powder. If they can blow it on your face, it will... There's a fine line between dying and then... Or telling the truth and being in complete control of whoever's given that to you.
Yeah, that's...
You
like
could be
really
completely suggestive.
Effectively hypnotizing them.
Yeah, so I could be... I could blow it on your face and be like, okay, we're going to an ATM and you are going to give me all your money. And you'd be like, okay.
Okay.
And you'd just do it.
When did trees and plants become such vicious?
Well, have you seen the M. Night Shyamalan movie with Mark Wahlberg where the trees just decide to turn on us and poison us? Have you seen that?
No.
No, don't worry, not many people did.
I know, because I stopped
watching.
Doesn't
get movies anymore.
Straight to DVD, wasn't it?
You make 6 cents and everyone's like, chuck all the money at this guy. He's made a couple of shitters. Keep giving him money. Next one's about the trees killing everybody. Oh, stop giving him money now. He's ruined this for everybody.
Oh, right. So apparently not that plant or tree.
So there's more than one plant that does similar.
Many plants that want us dead.
Okay.
The thing about this apple is first bitten tastes pleasantly sweet, then a slight strange peppery aftertaste, and then you'll begin to feel the burning tearing sensation, the tightness of the throat, till you can barely swallow, and it burns you from the inside out. So it's like a horrendous... Now, apparently most countries that they're in, if people have them, which I don't know why they would, maybe because they can't burn them, because as Phil mentioned, the smoke will blind you, the smoke that comes off the tree when you're burning it, have them signposted.
Right.
I thought a flowery apple was bad, but that is really bad.
You've been taking those back to Countdown.
You're like, ooh, it feels good. And just sloppy sponge in your hand.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I thought I knew apples.
Yeah.
Take back my degree. So today's fact of the day is it is considered the most dangerous plant in the world. The manchineel tree's sap will blister you, fruit will poison you, and smoke when you burn it will blind you.
Fact of the day.
Went out on a limb.
You did. You
tried.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
This was perfect timing.
I know.
Thursday night. And I've actually forgotten about this until you just brought it up.
Yeah. The flag referendum results came out Thursday night just before the long weekend. And how wonderful was it? We were all talking about it on Thursday night. Friday, maybe a little bit of chat. Saturday faded. Sunday gone. Monday completely out of our memories.
Today I completely forgot. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No clue.
You've got to give our Prime Minister something. He's a sly dog when it comes to burying news.
He buries
the news
Literally had a press conference and got on a plane and left New Zealand. That's brilliant.
It was like, fine, if you guys don't want to do what I want to do, I'm going overseas.
Yeah.
And he left.
And so, yeah, the majority, obviously, that you know, voted to keep our current flag.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
I was surprised at the percentage, because what did you say? It was 43% voted for that.
Yeah.
Other one.
43% of people have no style.
Horrendous tea towel.
I'm offending nearly half of everybody
situation.
Listening.
I was all,
good one.
I was all for a change.
Just not that one. Yeah. Not that.
And that's what I saw a lot of online. Yeah. I know the dangers of going to online for an opinion because you surround yourself with like-minded people that maybe wanted to change. But this is the thing. You think, it was like Red Peak. I'm like, this is definitely, this is our new flag. Everyone I know loves this flag.
But they don't.
They didn't. It was just a small amount of people that did. But they were the vocal minority. Well, in other flag news, and I think maybe this could be our flag next time we...
Okay.
Get Country Calendar theme song as our New Zealand national anthem. Oh, someone can chuck some words to that.
Yeah.
And the rainbow flag. The rainbow flag could be our nation's flag.
Why that one?
Because it's awesome.
Just lots of colours.
It's beautiful. It's super easy to draw. You just need a pack of felts and you just do lines. And no one would get
easy.
That wrong.
Someday no.
We'll find it.
So a man in Saudi Arabia was arrested for flying the rainbow flag, of course, well associated to the LGBT community.
Yeah,
the pride flag,
yeah,
the rainbow flag.
Yeah.
Apparently, he bought this flag because his kids liked it because it was colourful.
Right.
And he ran it up the flagpole instead
in
of the
Saudi Arabian
flag. Yeah, he brought up a rainbow flag in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, Saudi Arabia is really backward when it comes to any sort of human rights.
Anything, yeah.
Females' human rights and homosexual rights are just miles from being on their agenda.
Yeah.
So he was arrested because they believed he was... presenting gay propaganda by flying the rainbow flag.
But so he didn't know it was a gay flag at all?
No. He just his kids really liked it because it was super colourful.
Okay. So his defence is it was pretty.
Yeah.
So I'm
uneducated.
So he was arrested by the Saudi religious police, who are officially known as the Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice.
Good God.
Wow, okay.
After he flew the flag on a 3-metre flagpole above his house. Because we found that in Dubai, right? Lots of houses have flagpoles.
They do, yeah.
What was on them? Which flag?
Dubai.
The Emirates. No, United Arab Emirates flag.
That one, okay.
Oh, really? It was just the Dubai flag. No, it was all of them. Was it?
I don't know, it was one of them. I was just trying to sound like I knew.
It was a pretty flag.
Flag.
I'm sorry I asked.
It's quite a pretty flag.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't dare run it up the flagpole, excuse the pun, the gay flag, would you? In Saudi Arabia.
Oh, no.
But he is claiming he had absolutely no idea. It was complete. His kids were just like, Dad, we love this rainbow flag. He's like,
me too. Put it up.
Get it up there.
And now he's in prison.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
You know, they don't know the outcome of this yet, but he could be in very serious trouble. Very serious trouble.
Got to do your flag due diligence.
Makes our flag issue look real minor in comparison,
minor
doesn't
in
it?
Comparison, yeah.
All right, last
Although you should be arrested if you're still flying that one that didn't get elected.
Oh, yeah, there's one at Parnell. Barnes headed up at the weekend. I was doing some lanes.
I saw some lanes.
Doing some lanes, and just getting that in there. I was doing some lanes.
Doing some lanes?
And I wanted to pull it down, but I was like, well, it's not my jurisdiction, is it? You can't just pull someone else's flag down.
Not only to the Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice.
I'll get Saudi
Arabia.
I'd love
to see that business card.
Yeah.
It's a long business card title.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
What's your story for last calls?
Basically, when I was at university studying, I used to work with my father up north in a sheet metalwork factory. Very loud, very health conscious.
Okay, yep. Sounds blokey.
Everyone's got headphones on, earmuffs, all the safety stuff. One guy's welding away, and a little bit of metal shoots up in there, lands down the back of his work boots in between his overalls and starts burning his heel. Not bad. So he drops his tool very quickly, puts his hands on the bench, and then starts shaking his leg to sort of cool it down, obviously.
Yeah.
Another guy works on the bench sort of behind him, turns to see what's going on, but doesn't quite understand, runs over, thinks this guy's getting electrocuted, grabs a bit of 2x4, smashes him across the chest to get him away from the machine and breaks 3 of his ribs.
Because that's...
Goodness gracious. I
get that because, yeah, he's holding on to the metal and shaking. So he's like, there's a current running through it. He's being electrocuted.
Absolutely. So the poor guy's now got a little burn on his toe, but 3 broken ribs.
Oh, my God.
That's a brilliant story.
How great would it feel to four-by-two somebody across the chest, though?
Thinking you're saving them.
Very heroic. He thought he saved his life.
Yeah.
Goodness,
man. That he just broke his ribs.
That's brilliant. All right. Laura, what's your story for last calls? Laura.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Laura.
Oh, my God.
Laura loves a dramatic pause.
Sorry. I was coming back from Wellington and I don't fly a lot. So we're in the airport and I scan my ticket and a red light starts flashing. And they say, oh, no, you're sitting in the naughty seat. So I was really scared. And I got seated in the emergency seat.
Oh, that's right, because,
That's the best one.
When you're boarding, it goes red and they say, look, just checking, you're in the exit row, is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, okay.
And they didn't really tell me because we had a previous incident before with some hairspray, so I was quite scared. And I sat in the seat and I was, like, just sitting there the whole flight trying to figure out how I'd open the door, how I'd save everyone, and I was so scared.
Yeah.
I had lots of leg room, but I was just freaking out that I wouldn't be able to get the door open.
My knees never touched the seat in front of me.
Because
space-wise, perfect. But heavens, that was a lot to put on the shoulders of a young lady.
They give you the briefing. They give you the briefing. If you're in the exit row, are you willing to help in an emergency? What did you say?
I said yes.
Okay.
Well, you just want to get going, don't you?
And then you just spend the whole flight freaking out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So what happened?
Nothing. We got there safely. So that was fine. I didn't have to do anything.
Because, you know, it's my dream. I always ask to be seated in the emergency aisle because of the knee, the extra room.
Do you know what?
But I thrive to be a hero.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I sometimes reckon, I think they look at me and go, she looks strong. She looks like she could hold a door.
Yes,
you pop in the exit row and I go, thank you.
Yeah, I reckon that door would be a lot heavier than you're all thinking right now. I think it'd be quite heavy.
No, I think it'd be hollow. I think it'd be lighter than
you thought. No, it'd be very heavy.
Any air hostesses listening that could tell us, was the door lighter or heavier than you thought?
I'd say it'd be at least 15 kgs.
Well,
that's
really
part of the plane body.
Yes.
Philippa, good morning.
Hello.
Do you think a plane, do you think an emergency exit window would be heavy
or light? Taking some time to consider her answer.
Philippa.
Boy, said that about Philippa. Very considered.
Christian.
You cut out, Philippa. What did you think?
Do you think it would be heavy or light? The door that you have to open if you're in the emergency aisle on a plane.
Definitely heavy.
Yeah, thank you. Philippa knows. She just knows the aircraft fuselages. fuselages. Philippa, what's your story for last calls?
Right, so my story is, me and Sophie were out clubbing.
Yep.
We're losing you.
We are going to put Philippa on hold. What we'll do is we'll bring Philippa back tomorrow when she's got a better phone line, and we will now go to the voting phase of last calls. And vote for our favourite story.
Wait.
You know, it doesn't matter what we vote.
Don't let our votes
influence
you. By the way, how great was it that flag got defeated?
just as an FYI.
Despite how the Prime Minister went all balls to the wall about it and got Dan and Richie to be like, we like the flag too.
Yeah.
Great, because I was for All Blue, so technically my influence on the nation's heavier than All Black captain, Richie McCaw.
True.
Yeah.
All Black heartthrob and jockey enthusiast, Dan Carter, and the Prime Minister put together. So don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Thank me later.
A better human, obviously.
Much better. Okay, the votes are in, and it's a clean sweep today. Kevin's welding yarn really took it away from us. Kevin, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
do you think an emergency exit window would be heavier than you thought?
Oh, well, I don't know. It depends on when you open it. Because if you open it, sure, it's going to suck open pretty quickly.
No,
well,
you don't
but
it comes
it.
Into
you
the. It comes
it.
Into the.
You bring it in.
Yeah. I've not thought about the suction.
No, it's impossible to open when it acts like a plug. The doors act like a plug.
So you have to be on the ground before you can open it.
Yeah.
Or in the water.
Or depressurized.
What if you're cruising at about 10 metres over a swamp so you could jump and survive?
Oh, maybe. You might be able to. Oh,
every third passenger will get sucked into the engine.
Hey, Kevin, great news.
Imagine that you see that on the wing. You're like, whoa, I've got to fall off the road.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.